Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny Unitas had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes. You're doing it there with them. Firestorm, where we bring you the raw, uncut, unedited, and completely biased opinions on everything to do with football, college, and the NFL. I'm Ben Knight. Our panel coming at you from the Lone Star State. Jamal, Big Tex, what's going on, man?
What's going on, buddy, man? We're going to have a good one tonight.
All right, a lot of stuff happening. Coming at you from the Windy City, Chi-Town Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas, everybody? Jordan fans, get ready to talk some good old football, college football, NFL. I want to send a shout-out to Demetria McClinton, a.k.a. she calls herself Demi Emmy on Facebook, real close to me, wishing her a happy birthday today on her day. And my boy, Johnny Patterson, who I know a long time as well, I grew up with. Also a happy birthday. Happy birthday, you all. I know they listening to the show, so this show is dedicated to you all.
What's going on?
What is up, man? I am ready and able. I'm kind of disappointed about the news I just heard about an hour ago.
Kind of let me down.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to get into, you know, my polarizing statements. You know how I do, man.
But
I'm ready to do it, man.
I got a little bit of information on that. When we get in on that,
we can talk about that second because I'm gathering all my callers now. We can talk about that second.
I'm still with right now about the situation, so I'll learn about it on the show because I don't know what's happening.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
We about to get into it, Chi-Town. So don't worry, we're going to get into it.
I know. I'm alarmed from you all on that.
All right, so what's good?
Let's get it cracking.
Well, first up is Winston real quick.
No. Let's do that second because I'm getting all my callers lined up now.
Okay.
All right. What's up?
We can talk about Florida.
Is Callie Mike on the phone?
Callie Mike
on the phone? All right, hold on.
So.
All right, well, let me take over right now. He's on.
Yeah,
let me take over right now. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Are you
clear? No, I was saying I can hear you guys. Yeah, I'm saying let's start off with the LSU Alabama game. The big SEC matchup game, it was kind of close from the beginning, but it wasn't unexpected. I thought LSU would put up more of a fight, though, but, you know, like I said, I don't know. Bama's been, like I said, they've been, you know, the sleeping giant all season. So, you know, it's wasn't that expected they were going to, you know, that they could do this. You know, we just, you know, like I said, it just hasn't been that much talk about them. But, you know, to me, they can't just walk down. You know, they sum things up nicely. what are you guys' opinions on that, Tex?
I'm not surprised that Bama. You know what, LSU, you know, they kind of out-physicaled them in the first half. You know, they hung with them, and, I mean, that's to be expected, you know, because of just the nature of the game and the nature of both teams. And then Saban comes out, and he says, you know what, we have to be more physical. We have to run the ball. And that's what they did. It's clockwork. It's kind of like how they did against Texas A&M late. Just man on man, body on body, and just go. Which is why I don't see anybody beating them this year. Is because when they play a certain brand of football, when they just do simple things and they execute, you can't beat them because they just got everything better than you. But you know, again, this is the LSU defense that's without tons of playmakers that it's had in the past. And they still have some, you know, they still got players. And if I'm Les Miles, I'm in their ear saying, guys, if you guys come back next year, we might be able to do something special.
Whatever, man. Texas is a closet LSU fan, man.
No, I'm not a closet. How am I a closet LSU fan?
You are, man. Be real, dog. Wait, you're a closet LSU fan, man.
They don't have players right now. They're not so young and green right now that if they came back next year, they could actually do something. That's not true? Come on,
man. Nobody's saying it's not true, man, but you're trying to tell me that they're going to, like, I mean, they're not in Alabama's league anymore in terms of recruiting. I mean, they got athletes now. I'm getting it twisted now.
No, LSU will still recruit.
Nobody said they don't recruit, but they're not Alabama's league right now. I mean, Alabama's the creme de la creme of college football right now in terms of recruiting and coaching. So
you just don't want
to give Alabama their props,
anyway,
man. I think that's what it is, man.
I've always given Bama his props. Always have.
Yeah, but you like LSU better, man.
Well, wait a second. I'm saying if they come back, and now, you know, Bama about to lose that QB, so they're about to drop off a little bit. I know you don't.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Trust
okay.
me.
Back to what I was saying, it's just LSU, you know, defense is devoid of playmakers. As in the past, you had about seven or eight guys that were just big-time playmakers. And, you know, these guys are young. They, you know, just like I said, you give them a little bit of time. You know, they're kind of like a souped-up Ole Miss a little bit. Not there yet, but much potential. So,
okay.
One thing I'll say about LSU, and Tex kind of touched on it, they've had playmakers, but really, if you look at LSU, they've been kind of playing without a quarterback for like the past 3 or 4 years, really. You know, Jordan Jefferson, and Zach Lee, you know, really? Is that who your quarterback is, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of, like I say, you know, you see, I mean, look at the wide receivers they've had who, you know, dudes that's doing stuff in the league that wasn't doing nothing in college, like, you know, Reuben Randall, Terrence Tolliver, cats like that, you know. So, I mean, like I said, they've, you know, it had a lot to do with their quarterback play. You know, maybe that's not Les Miles' strong suit, or, you know, maybe they missed out on recruits who they thought they were going to get, you know, but for whatever reason, like I said, you know, and Mettenberger, you know, like, you know, cats were saying he was garbage last year. Now he came on, and, you know, to me, this is saying that he might have should have been playing, you know, 2 years ago. When he was sitting on the bench and everybody was wondering how come he's not playing. Maybe he should have started playing then. And by now, they'll be ready by now. So, you know, but like I said, I just, you know, want to throw that in there. I think they do have athletes to compete. You know? I mean, like I said, they're recruiting, you know, not going to be that far off. If they land, they have a couple of more recruits that they think they're going to go to LSU, like that running back that everybody's been talking about. And, you know,
Well, I mean, the thing was, I mean, Alabama, And one thing I want to call, I'll go on that game again. Tex, I know you're going to disagree with me, and we're, this is about the cause of commotion. I know what this is. All right. And I think you got an idea where I'm going at with this.
Where
Agent
we
McCarron.
Go, man.
All right. Agent McCarron is good, and I've watched every snap he's done at Alabama. He's good, but he's pretty much of the Ken Dorsey element. Okay.
No,
now, I understand. Hold on. Let me finish here.
Yeah, he said it already. Yeah.
Hold on, let me finish. Now, I understand Alabama didn't have an Andre Johnson. Alabama doesn't have a, what is it, Portis, you know, all these other NFL great players, all right?
Yeah,
but we're just comparing college careers. We're comparing college careers. We're not talking about what they're doing in the pros, all right? We're just comparing college careers. Talent-wise, he's loaded just like the Ken Dorsey was, okay? He's just don't screw it up. You know, he's just like, hey, he has a Ferrari, don't screw it up. That's what AJ McCarron was. He's the same element as Ken Dorsey.
He's being mentored from a defensive coach's perspective. When you have something like that, you get a guy that might be limited physically, like AJ McCarron, and you have a coach like Saban, you kind of get this little Belichick Brady thing going on that Alabama got going on right now in college.
Right. Well, but
I mean,
are
we going to say Brady is a game manager? Now, nobody is saying McCarron's going to go into the NFL and rip it up. Nobody is saying that. Actually, you can make a good argument that he's maxed out already on his talent. I mean, you can make that debate. But, you know, how can you say he's just – it's just don't screw it up when he's being coached.
Basically, don't screw it up.
When he's being coached from a defensive perspective, and he showed up and been clutch in big games when Bama didn't have anything going on, and McCarron is the one coming through for him.
Okay, so outside of LSU, when did he take his team back? When did he do that?
Georgia last year, LSU twice.
No, it didn't. Eddie Lacy took and brought Bama back from Georgia last year. What you talking about?
No,
that was
McCarron,
Eddie Lacy doing that
McCarron,
job.
McCarron
Eddie Lacy was running everybody over. I don't know what you're talking about with that Georgia game. No.
He was in there late. Both teams were running the ball. Lacy was running. They don't win titles without McCarron.
Well, okay, that's fair. I think we have a more of a dynamic passer coming in following McGarren. Now, he may not necessarily.
They wouldn't beat LSU last year was McCarron either. I remember that game.
Yeah, that's the only game you could think of. Give me another one.
That's a big game.
BCS title game.
You're talking about at the beginning of the game when LSU was preparing them to run the ball and then they threw it anyway?
Hey, that's when McCarron broke out because Trent Richardson wasn't doing anything and they were
because LSU was McCarron,
and he was on a dime with the pass. LSU was covering them boys, man, and McCarron was making throws under pressure. You forget, dude.
What I'm saying is, but that was at the beginning. Everybody was game planning. Everybody knew that Alabama was going to run the ball for LSU. And then Nick Saban threw a wrench at him, and then AJ McCarron just did his thing. I'll give you that.
And McCarron,
I'm not saying that he's over – well, I do think he's kind of overrated, but I'm saying, like, I'm not saying he's bad. I just think that
overrated.
He's Ken Dorsey. He's just a Ken Dorsey. That's what he is. And I think that's where
I think he's a bit better than Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey wasn't
that. Hold on, you're breaking up, Kelly Mike. What?
So if Ken Dorsey wasn't at Miami, they might not have done what they did, right?
Yeah, and that's fair. I'm nobody saying that. I got you there.
I mean, we're not talking about NFL. We're talking about college. These dudes are great college.
Yeah, I'm cool with college. I'm good with that. Yeah, I don't think we would have won without McCarron. McCarron, yeah, he was an important piece. You know what I mean? But is he of the same ilk as Winston or Johnny Manziel? No, I don't think he is.
Well, he's actually better than him because he has two national championships.
Oh,
they have zero.
Right, yeah. So you win the national championship by yourself. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay.
No, but it's a team sport. And like I said, would you rather have a national championship or a Heisman?
Well, obviously a national championship. No, but you're trying to say you're trying to say one quarterback's better than the other. I mean, that's like saying Jeff Hostetler was better than Dan Marino. Come on, man. But it is what it is, man. You know, believe what you want.
Dan Marino doesn't. I mean, you can take that.
Yeah, so Jeff, you sound like Watley now, man. Yeah, so Jeff Hostetler was better than Dan Marino.
All I care about is
come on, man.
I don't care about
nobody's disputing that, but we're not talking about winning or not. We're talking about who's a better quarterback and who's not. You know what we're talking about. You said Jeff Hollister was better than Dan Marino.
Like he's bad, though. This dude, McCarron, isn't bad.
Nobody said he's bad. I never said he was bad. I said he's good. He's just
not
a Ken
bad.
Dorsey.
He's not average. He's not a super quarterback, but he's an above-average quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
And that's fair. You can say he's above-average quarterback, but he's Ken Dorsey. That's what he is, Ken Dorsey Jr. But anyway. We can go to the college if you want, man. I'll give you the last word.
That sounds insane. Anyway, all right.
You're breaking up, Callie Mike. Are you text? You're there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Shot-town, you there? Yeah, I think you're breaking up, Callie Mike. We can't hear you that well. Hold on, let me bring in the first call here, 708. 708, you're on CMT Firestorm.
My state. Hello?
Hello? You got Chi-Town?
Chi-Town? Chi-Town's here.
All right, 708 is breaking up, so we're going to get Watley here. 813.
What's up, people?
What's good?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
I still hear you over here trying to butter up your freshmen. you need to just go on and let that young man have a couple of more years to mature. Because
I hope he has a few more years. I hope to God he has a few more years. But we'll see.
Now, McCarron will eat him up on the field.
Oh, please. That's
what you
want to say. Right there. So
you take him up on the field.
Please. You put Wilson in Alabama and eliminate the fans. You just eliminate the fans from Alabama.
Oh, see,
you put Wilson
talking
in
about eliminate.
Wilson.
I ain't talking about eliminate. I'm talking
I say
about
eliminate the fans.
McCarron.
I ain't saying eliminate the players. I say eliminate the fans. You eliminate the
I
fan
said,
base
don't
in
eliminate
Alabama.
Nothing.
You put Wilson on that team.
No.
Wilson,
see, you're trying to get him in a controlled environment. We ain't talking about no controlled environment. That's what he plays in the All Cupcake Conference, a controlled environment, because they all suck. What I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're blowing them out too, right? It'd be like 35 to nothing before halftime, right?
Put him in a normal environment where he's got to perform under pressure, under stress, because he ain't done that yet. None of them sorry-ass teams in the ACC is put him under any stress. Put him under that stress, and he will not perform like McCarron performed day in, day out, week in, week out, year in and year out.
Boston College didn't put him under stress?
Hell no.
To a degree, Miami was good. Miami intercepted
him
two times. Miami intercepted him, picked him off twice. All right.
Boston College. When was
we'll
the last
see in the swamp.
Time
hey,
they did anything but baked beans?
We're going to see in the swamp. You know what? We're going to see in the swamp. Well, I don't even know we're not going to see in the swamp. Let's just be realistic. Florida is not motivated to play this game. I don't even want to go there.
Like
you
I
think
said,
they are. They are not motivated. Let's, say,
I mean,
let's put it out there.
Motivated and ready to do about it. They
I'll
see.
Give you that.
They're 4-5.
I honestly think that the Florida Gator team is in the process of a rebellion. And I think that homecoming game was the players' way of showing the administration at home that they want to change. I really believe that.
Well, hey, I mean,
think that game was their, I think that game was their way of showing the administration that they're sorry for this thing.
Offensively,
yeah, well,
sorry.
You know, you say
I
what
mean,
you want. You say what you want, but
you know
but,
it's true,
Kyle. You know,
this is true
what
now,
I'm trying to say
just
is,
be
I think those guys are frustrated. They are tired of giving their all and having these coaches calling these horrible calls. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what's really going on. The offensive coordinator is holding that quarterback back because they know if he gets hurt, they have nobody. So they're trying to make him stay in the pocket. They're trying to make him be a pocket passer, and he was not recruited to be that. He is not that. And when you try to make him be something he's not going to perform up to par. And that's what's happening with him. They're so scared he's going to get hurt that they're not letting him play his game.
Well, you know, I think they made the mistake last year when they picked Driscoll over Brissett. I think Brissett would have been more of a dynamic passer for that offense instead of Driscoll. Driscoll, he has the arm, he has the legs, but, you know, he's just not that good. You know what I mean? He's just not that good.
I agree. I didn't think they should have picked Driscoll either.
I think they should have picked
the
other guy.
Every time they go through this freshman sensation thing, they always go in the same direction. Every time, and every time I think it's the wrong direction. So, you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
It is Southern politics.
It's just, I know it doesn't really have anything to do with what we're talking about, but just real quick, Baylor has signed off Bryles to a new 10-year deal, so schools like Texas have to look elsewhere.
Nope. I mean, they have to look elsewhere too. Shoot,
so have they made it very clear that they're going to get rid of Texas coach yet? Or
I think it's
kind of obvious, but have they said it?
I think he'll be given a choice to resign. That's that old boy network. It ain't going to be Matt Brown fired. It ain't going to be like that. Especially after they beat OU. That's what's safe. She's beating OU.
Hey, Oklahoma.
But yeah. he's gonna have to resign. I'd be surprised if he gets another year. Even for old Texas, I'd be surprised by that.
Yeah.
I mean the thing is I was thinking the same thing at FSU. But you remember when they just straight told the coach, you know, we were going to give you the chance to resign, but look like you ain't trying to go nowhere, Belton, so guess what? You're out.
Yeah. Yep.
Who'd have thought they'd do Bobby Belton like that? He's the winningest coach in the NCAA.
They ain't winning.
This is Texas.
Yeah, 15%.
Man. You just gotta. Y'all know how this go, man. With Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know Florida State. You know they in the South too. You know they had their little thing, but you know Texas ain't. It's not like I said. It's not gonna be unless they were coming off like 3-8 or 2-9 or something like that. It's not gonna. The headline ain't gonna be Mack Brown fired.
Exactly.
Mack Brown resigned. Or steps down, or here's another one that they'll pull out of their ass. Takes time off. You know, the difference is the same.
Yeah, time with families. You know,
say he got sick or something crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what he's done. Me and Tex was just talking about it the other day. Look at how he broke Tyrone Suh's red shirt. You know, that was their number one, you know, quarterback recruit, and he took away his red shirt season. He's not even playing the dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, why would you do that?
I mean, he doesn't know what he's, you know, he got scared. He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, it's a mess, man. I mean, like I said, now Gray's out for the season. You know, I mean, they're, you know, it's going to be a mess in Texas. They still got a tough series of games coming up. They could easily lose 2 out of 3 or maybe even 3 out of 3 of these last games they got left.
But the one thing about Texas is the flagship, and the flagship is always able to rebuild, regroup, and restructure quickly. So even if, you know, with what they're going through now, they get rid of Brown at the end of the year, I'd say within a year, Texas will be Texas again. Because,
yeah, that's
you know, it's not going to take long.
It won't, but you have to have a want. It's funny because if you look at the parallel between the Texas Longhorns and the Dallas Cowboys, it's scary. It's like they're the same organization. You know, right. you gotta want to succeed. And it's, you know, and for both of them, it doesn't even seem like they want to win. So,
and
about the money.
And another thing to add on to what Tony was saying, they'll recover, they'll still get athletes, but you know, Sumlin is creeping up over here. And I'm telling you, these guys in the area, these big time guys that are considering A&M, Texas ain't even on their radar. And that goes for all of Texas. Sumlin
but I just don't see A&M being A&M once football's gone. Once
yeah,
Johnny football's
I
gone,
with that.
I just don't see them being the same A&M team. I really think that A&M is A&M because they have a superstar quarterback.
Yep, and that's why I say
think,
that he should go straight to the. That's why I feel like he should go straight to the NFL. I was the person that said that last week. He should go straight to the NFL because when he leaves, Manziel, that is, you know who's
yeah.
going to get the brunt of his antics. Who's going to get the blame for all his antics?
Someone's still going to get recruits too.
Okay, we'll see. If they start losing, he gets recruits. But if they start losing games,
look at
if they have the same record, let's just say this.
Look what he did in Houston.
It's different. This is Texas. If he has the same record that he does now, next year, oh, they're going to start saying some stuff. Trust me.
Look, I got to say, just look what he did at Houston. They went undefeated. So, that's
I think he'll be fine. Although I'm not naive, but. I think as long as he's at A&M, guys are gonna roll, and I think y'all underestimate that win at Tuscaloosa and the success they had last year. A&M has always had athletes that continue to pull. They have a next year will be when their defense steps up and becomes strong. So they just have to, you know, he stays around. They just have to keep recruiting, and I mean they. You know, people have kind of turned their back on Texas a little bit with this Mac Brown thing. So
you look at it in Texas, you probably know A&M. To me, they've constantly been out recruiting Texas in terms of quarterback. You look at Terrence Murphy, Jared
raw
Johnson,
athleticism, and just raw talent.
Tannehill. Yeah, I mean, you know, Manziel, they've constantly been out recruiting Texas in terms of quarterback for the past maybe 10 years.
Yeah,
because Texas has been getting duds, man, ever since Vic Young. Well, except Colt McCoy. Ever since Colt McCoy, they've been getting duds.
He's a dud, too.
Yeah, I was going to say,
McCoy wasn't no dud. You can't – I don't agree with that. McCoy was not a dud.
But he was a dud.
No, McCoy was pretty good.
McCoy's not a dud, but McCarron's
a dud. I tell you what, Clauzel, I had money on that game. Saying that he wouldn't last the whole game because he's been playing in that big.
No, he wasn't that good, but he wasn't. Sorry, he was good.
Get,
I thought McCoy was pretty good when he was at Texas. I thought he had a very good career. Was he better than Major Applewhite? I thought Major Applewhite was pretty good.
A middle broker. He was a milk dud.
All right, man. Hey, we got to move on here.
I got one question. If people going to A&M, Texas, you said it's been either A&M or Baylor been the second choice in Texas on Texas. I missed that part.
I didn't say anything about that. Go on, Clauzel. Okay.
No, I got to move on because our line here is loaded, man.
Let's move on. Let's bring in 850. I think this is James.
What's going on around here?
First,
we gotta get a few things clear. Number one, this thing about AJ McCarron being Ken Dorsey. No, dude.
Yes, man.
Why not? You gotta understand. This is a whole different team in Alabama than Miami is. Miami has athletes all around the offense.
And Alabama doesn't?
Hold it. The guys that you had in the offensive line, Miami had those guys in the offensive line. Alabama doesn't have the tight ends that Miami had. Alabama didn't have the wide receivers that Miami had.
Amari Cooper,
Alabama
Kenny
Bell?
Alabama
might have the right. Well, hold on. What you just said?
Amari Cooper's not that good?
Come on.
Amari Cooper
is
stinking it up this year, Clausel. You know it.
He ain't sticking it up. He ain't nobody's giving him the ball. Are you kidding me? He ain't sticking it up. That dude ain't sticking it up. I don't know what you're looking at. He's not sticking it up. They're not giving him the ball. McCarron's not giving him
the
ball.
The other guy's a go-to guy now. Ain't nobody ever seen Andre Johnson ain't the go-to guy in Miami, even when Reggie Wayne was here. And Reggie Wayne is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, maybe.
He is. Santana Moss. And Santana Moss was, you know, in college was better than Reggie Wayne. You see now in the pros, Reggie Wayne is a man.
Yeah, keep going, James. Let's just keep going. What you saying?
Now, the running backs might be comparable, but this is college. We ain't talking about NFL because, like many of us have said, Alabama running backs in the NFL ain't really all too high. So, with that
You saw Mark Ingram get some Cowboys, though, right?
Look at that.
He always come with one game all the time. One game. Yellen had a run, and he said he was Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, the same.
I didn't say he was Adrian Peterson. I said he was mini. Come on, man. See, that's what I said, mini. But anyway, keep going.
Now, the second real quick point, something that I really have to emphasize is that a lot of people are making that mistake of generalizing the SEC teams like they're all playing the same schedule in conference when that's not even close. Clear example, Alabama's in-conference schedule is nowhere close to what Tennessee has played this year. Tennessee has played South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, and Auburn. At the very least, that's five ranked teams right there this season, and then on top of that, play Oregon out of conference. That's probably one of the toughest schedules in the nation, and compare that to who Alabama has played, especially out of division, Kentucky or who else? You don't see them playing Georgia or South Carolina, so you can't give every team in the SEC that type of generalization, so we got to get that clear.
Yeah, Alabama's had the easiest SEC schedule this year. They benefited from an easy SEC schedule.
But see, they're gonna have a tough skid next year, though. And
they
might not be ready for it. They might not be ready for it next year.
Like you said, with a new quarterback next year, an inexperienced quarterback.
They'll be ready next year.
And the other thing is, Texas A&M will be straight next year, even on offense. They got the number one rated quarterback coming in.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
As long as Kevin Sutherland is there, they gonna be fine, man.
All right, we got to move on here because we want to get into some other topic after this. Let's look at the next caller.
They probably beat Bama next year.
Yeah, you can believe that if you want to.
They did it last year.
Steve,
what's going on? Hey!
Y'all doing all that talk? Clausel, man. What's up with this Ken Dorsey, AJ McCarron?
Oh, my God.
Comparison.
What's wrong with that, man? What's wrong with that comparison, man? Come on, Steve, man. What's wrong with that comparison?
You can't say that, but at the same time, you got to understand, I mean, everybody says Miami had all that talent around them. I understand what you're saying. I understand what y'all saying. But besides Andre Johnson on the outside, as far as a wide receiver, I know we had Jeremy Shockey and Kellen Winslow on special teams at that time in 2001. But as far as a wide receiver, all we really had was Andre Johnson. We had a lot of young pups. And then in 2000, Andre Johnson barely even played.
Yep.
Reggie Wayne left in 99. I heard somebody say Andre Johnson played with Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne left in 99.
And was Reggie Wayne really a great was Reggie Wayne really a great UM receiver when he was in college?
Yes, he was, actually. Yeah. That man had sure hands, buddy. Sure hands. Like, he was guaranteed to catch anything. Like, I watch Miami games more than anybody you'll know. Reggie Wayne had sure hands. He was the guy, if you needed a pass, I know we had the tight end Bubba Franks when he was playing too, though, but Reggie Wayne, if he needed a pass, man, he was going to catch it. I mean, he saved Miami in a lot of games. When we had one of the greatest comebacks against Boston College, Reggie Wayne was the guy that orchestrated that ordeal. But Reggie Wayne was real good in college, man. He just don't get all the credit that he deserves. He was kind of under the radar in 99 when people weren't really looking at Miami like that. You know, they were just coming back. We had Kenny Kelly. They benched him at the end of the year to give Ken Dorsey a chance. He comes in. You know, we lose to Washington the first game of the season in 2000. A lot of Miami fans didn't even watch that game. They can't even tell you what happened. I know what happened. Ken Dorsey fell over four times on the tripped over his own feet. Santana Moss getting all these penalties. But anyway, we ain't going to talk about that. But that AJ McCarron, Ken Dorsey comparison, I can see where you're coming from with that a little bit. You know what I mean? Because AJ McCarron, I don't think he's a great quarterback. You know what I mean? He does what it takes to win. Amari Cooper, he's not been doing as good as he's done in the past, but he stepped up when he needed to.
Exactly. Hold on. I want to say something real quick.
They got one of the best offensive lines I've ever seen. You know what I mean?
Hold on, Steve. I want to say something real quick to interject you real quick. And Amari Cooper is not, like, being a scrub this year. He's just not – the ball's not being thrown his way. You know what I mean? Because you saw him in the Alabama and LSU game, he was looking pretty good. I mean, the guy is still the number one. He's the number one. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
He's not their go-to receiver this year, right?
Yes. He is. He's the best receiver on the team still.
They're hitting everybody.
That's not what I said to you, Father. I said it's either go-to receiver this year. You know what I said.
I don't know if they even have a go-to receiver. They just spread it around. But he's the best receiver. If that's the same thing, he's the best receiver. That's the best I can tell you right now. He's the best receiver on the team. He's clearly the best receiver on the team. I don't want to interrupt you, Steve. You can keep going.
Well, hands down, Amari Cooper is the best receiver because he's from the great state of Florida. 305, Miami.
Here we go.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, Devontae Freeman, he threw up that 305 when he scored. Let them people know, Randy Shannon, you messed up. Yeah, I was right there, and you let me come to Florida. But anyways.
Hey, we got Clinton Nix, too. You know that, right? Him and
you
are. You know that? Yep.
Yeah, from Orlando. I know about them boys, man. Alabama is stacked. I give them their credit. But the best team in the nation right now is Florida State, hands down. I don't care what nobody say. I saw them live, in flesh, in person. They are the best team I ever seen right now. Right now.
You talking about this year?
Not ever. Of course not. I'll never say a Florida State team is the best team ever. But right now, they're the best team I have seen on the field. I don't care
what nobody says. Baylor.
I don't give a damn about none of them teams. Florida State right now, can't nobody beat them. You can say they playing scrubs and cupcakes or whatever, but they showing up scrubbing them. They really scrubbing them. If they that bad, they scrubbing them against the wall, man. I ain't never seen Florida State, hands down, all three phases of the game is the best team.
You know what, Miami, too.
You know what I'm saying? That's a rivalry. So, I mean, yeah, you got to give them props for that as well.
Hold on. First of all, I agree with Steve. First of all, I said it at the beginning of the year. They're going to be the best team in the country before the season's over. I agree that right now they're the better than that. I would put them a little bit above Alabama, just a little bit, you know, because of the quarterback element. That's the only reason.
Nah, man, nah. Nope.
That's the only reason because of the quarterback element.
No.
Carter likes to sandbag his own team. He knows damn well what Alabama do to Florida State.
I want to save that for later. I've been noticing this for the past couple of years.
Carter likes to sandbag Alabama.
I want to get to that discussion later because I don't even think.
He did say Florida State was going to be number one, though. He did say that, man. I was like, hold on. He said that last year, too, Mike.
Do you remember that? Do you remember when
I did say that at the beginning of the year. I did say that at the beginning of the year last year. I did.
Yeah.
But hold on. I don't even want to talk about that because I don't even think they're playing Alabama in the championship game anyway. So I'm going to go into that a little later in the show. So, Steve, let me – I got to put you on hold, man. We got a long list here, man. All right, so let me put you on hold. Let me put Matt up on here. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's going on, Matt?
What's going on, man?
What's up, man? You got any opinion?
I just – I got plenty to say. But I just shoved a whole big bite of sandwich in my mouth and said, oh, let me get that unmuted. What? I want to do a guilty plug real quick. I'm working on a new website for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, thechtonsport.wordpress.com. I haven't hooked the domain name because the site isn't done. And after that, we're going to have a CMT Firestorm website, not just a, you know, not just a fan page, but a website too. So I'll be working
on
that.
Okay, I think I checked that out. Is that the website you put your latest article on?
That's the one I put the latest article on. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So we can all write articles now. We can all write articles.
That's
including Watley.
To me, including Watley. As crazy as it sounds, but the first death threat I get because of his articles, I gotta take that shit down, man. Yeah, take it down. Sorry, just.
All right. But go to YouTube,
man. I can't have that stuff happening. But all the listeners, they can go to the website now if they want to sign up. Or go to meeting or go to my PC, they can try it free for 30 days if they go to the website. How to plug that too. But as far as sports that we were talking about, here's a question I have. I tweeted this out a little bit ago. What if Jameis Winston gets indicted?
Oh, we about to talk about that in a minute. Hold up. We about to talk about that.
Okay.
We've got to talk about that next time.
I won't let that cat out of the bag, though.
All right.
So what was it? Because we kept going back with more, because I was playing some good – I was waiting for the violin music to come on, remembering about times when Miami was relevant, and then talking about Russell, the biggest homer in the world, trying to downplay his team. I'm confused. What was the question?
Oh, he does that
originally?
All the time.
What
He's
was the question?
Caldwell's becoming notorious for sandbagging Alabama. And,
I'm not a sandbagger. No, I'm not. I'm an objective analyst, man. What are you talking about?
No, he does it every year because he knows what kind of talent Alabama has, but he does it every year so he can always be on the other side
just
in case. Mm-hmm.
Andy's in denial. Andy's in denial about it, too. So.
No.
It's not fooling me.
No, I'm rooting for Alabama. Don't get me wrong as a fan, but I'm being objective. Florida State's the best team right now, all around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure. Let's bring up the subject while we got Matt up here. Stanford or Baylor, do you think either one of them could
Stanford
beat FSU? Yeah, Stanford or Baylor. Do you think either one of them could beat FSU or Alabama?
Well, Mike, thank you for helping me plug the article I'm working on. I go Baylor. I think Baylor might play Alabama for the national title if they win out.
And Baylor's going to get rocked.
Might.
Baylor going to get rocked.
I
hope so.
Baylor,
hey,
if Baylor or Oregon played Alabama, it'd be the same outcome because the teams are very similar.
Please.
The style of
Baylor,
offense.
Baylor would get rocked. Oregon would get rocked a little bit less, though. Stanford,
they may give
a game.
Alabama,
but it would,
Alabama would give up 135 yards to Baylor rushing.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
All right, man. Believe that. It depends the type
three,
of offense they have.
Picks?
Do they have – hold up. When you run the ball,
it's
Alabama has a tough – hold up. I'm sorry, say what you got to say, man. I'm sorry.
It's the same offense that you see in Oregon that you were very big on, that you really liked, except for their running back is better than what Oregon has.
Yeah.
No, but Baylor has that, like, they do option or the spread, but it's not like a triple option type of offense. Alabama has a tough time against those, like, triple option running offenses, you know, like those old school.
Yeah,
but you know, I don't see Baylor
like
running
Auburn?
The ball. Auburn, yeah, Auburn's gonna like that's what I'm predicting right now. I have a suspicion that Auburn could beat them. You know,
I just want to see how excited you get when I said Auburn.
What'd you say?
I just want to hear you get really excited when I said Auburn.
I might as well go on and say I'm predicting that Auburn might beat Alabama. I'm really having this hunch. In my feeling, because they are back to being Auburn. They're back to being Auburn. Because by the end of the year, I think they will be in the top five. I mean, the way
that
their offense
is. Premise?
I'll buy into that premise only because, you know, the next couple games after Alabama plays LSU, they're suspect. Like, for example, last year, game after LSU, Texas A&M, they lost at home, which hardly ever happens. Then they went and played Mississippi State. Again, struggled with Mississippi State. Now this year, Mississippi State, then Auburn, and a good Auburn, too. So they could lose to Auburn.
I'm tired of
and Mississippi State, the computers,
computers
are predicting.
Who wants to bet something that Bama runs the table and gets to the national championship game?
Oh, I'm not betting anything.
Cool.
Hold up. This is why I say this. I have this feeling. Hold up. Tex, I'll say this. I got to look how Auburn plays Georgia this weekend. Because Georgia, you know, they got talent.
I don't want to see how they play Georgia. I just want somebody to put some money on Bama.
I ain't putting no money up. I don't bet. It's against my religion.
Title game.
But what I'm saying is, it's against my religion. But what I'm saying is, if Auburn blows Georgia out, which I think they will, I'm predicting that they will, then Alabama's going to have some issues, man, because they got to go there and play them. And I'm just saying, and they have Alabama has a tough time against triple option offenses.
Oh boy.
Okay, whatever. I mean, okay, Tex, you know what, Tex? You know what, Tex? You said the same thing against Clemson. That's fine.
This is part of the sandbagging.
Whatever, this ain't no sandbagging. I'm being objective, man. Whatever, man.
You're not fooling nobody, man. You know Alabama.
See, you guys ain't watching the games behind the games, man. Y'all guys ain't watching the game. You ain't watching the game behind the game, man. I mean, you haven't been noticing how good they've been playing lately?
Hey, listen, y'all are sitting in that film room every weekend with Clausell studying game film. You're not there with him. Sorry, I had to do it.
I mean, like I said, Auburn has been good. They have a good chance of losing to Georgia. I mean, they're going to be good. You know, like I said at the beginning of the season, I said it at the end of last season when they hired Gus Malzahn. The dude is offensive genius. He's pretty, you know, he was earmarked to do this since he was in college and I mean in high school in Arkansas, but you know I don't know if they have the talent to beat the Alabama team. I don't know
but
if they have
the
talent
scheme.
To beat
the Georgia
team. Georgia
to beat
Georgia
them.
Was getting healthy.
No, but if it's a blowout, like I said, if it's a blowout on Saturday, which I expect it to be, you know, then it's going to give me more assurance of what my prediction would be when they play Alabama because I had this feeling. Because I'm just saying, they're playing like a top-five team right now. That's what I'm saying. Auburn's playing like a top-five team. Last week they ran for over 400 yards against Tennessee. At Tennessee. So, and
Tennessee,
I mean, they were running straight
garbage.
Triple option. Huh?
Is,
they beat South Carolina.
Garbage,
Tennessee beat
man.
South Carolina. South Carolina's up for the SEC East Championship. They're gone. Okay, what I'm saying is, whatever. I don't even want to argue with you, Gally.
Tennessee is 4-4.
The point is,
right
I don't even want to argue
on,
with
man.
You, Gally, Mike. Well, the point is, the team is a top five team coming up. It's going to be a top five team before the end of the year. I'm not saying they're going to be number four, number three, number two, but they're probably going to be in the top five before the season's over. So
I don't have them beating Georgia.
So that's what I'm saying. So we'll see what happens this weekend against Georgia, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right. Let's go ahead
and jump into this.
I gotta put you on hold here, man.
Yeah, we only got a couple of minutes left for our college segment. So let's go ahead and jump into this Jameis Winston talk we wanted to talk about. Pretty much, Jameis has been in. I don't know if he's been arrested, but he's been mentioned as a suspect in a possible sexual assault case. The case is stemming from December 7th. Of 2012. It sounds kind of fishy to me because I'm guessing maybe the girl, they're saying that the girl didn't know who did it and then she found out, oh, it could be Jameis Winston, but I don't know. In the police description, it says the dude is 240, but it says that he's like 5'8 to 5'11. I think Jameis is 6'4. So I don't know. It's kind of sketchy. Tex, I think you said you had some other stuff that you wanted to say about that might not have came out yet.
Well, Jameis Winston's lawyer has come out, his attorney has come out and said that Winston was never questioned by police. And to their understanding, the case was closed in February. So,
I mean,
I don't know.
Okay, no charges were filed. And they kind of, see, I don't know. It's so, like I said, it's so weird. This is the type of stuff that gets me about this type of stuff. It's like, okay, this didn't happen until right before they might be able to play for the national championship, until they write, you know what I mean? It's kind of fishy that this is starting to happen right before the end of the season coming. You know, so, you know, like I said, I don't want to jump into things. We've had a lot of incidences in previous weeks where we jumped to conclusions because we didn't know all the information. And sexual assault is very, very serious. But this is just, it's just very, very fishy. You know, I mean, how many cases do they wait a year to name a suspect and then they don't question him? They just name. I've never even heard them naming a suspect in public like that without even interviewing him. You know? And from what I understand, they didn't file charges and there's no evidence. So I don't know. This is very fishy. I mean, what do you think about this, Claudel?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely fishy. I mean, obviously, it's a. I mean, maybe just trying to find something on him, man. I mean, I knew that was going to happen. I mean, I just kind of felt like, well, I think it's a bad judgment on Winston. He must have been doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, first of all. You know, he should have known better. If he was the number one recruit in the country, you know the women are coming, man. So, I mean, he should have known better than to put himself in a situation like that. So I kind of blame him from that front. But then from the other front, you know, I just think that people are just trying to find something on him. I mean, if this thing was in 2009 or 2012, I think, and now, you know, they didn't really question him, or it doesn't seem like he's going to have anything legal happen to him, something tells me. So, you know, they just put it out there, you know, to make it just to make the guy look bad, you know, give a reason for Manziel to get the Heisman this year or something. I don't know. But you know, I just don't like it. But I think Winston made a bad – was not doing something he should have been doing.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, remember we kind of talked about that earlier. You know, we were talking about how, you know, we hope he surrounds himself by good people. And you figure a kid that's been, you know, as highly recruited as him, he's been number one at his position since he was a, you know, senior in high school basically. So you figure he would have, you know, they would start getting a good crowd surrounded by him, you know. But, I mean, you never know. Like I say, I don't know. I mean, I thought he was a guy who came from, like, a good family. But, I mean, I don't know. He seems like he's a good guy, you know. But, like I say, you don't know behind closed doors what goes on, you know, or who guys hang out with. But, you know, he seemed like one of them clean cut kind of, do you know anything about his personal life, Quazo?
Oh, no, I don't even know the guy personally. I mean, I think he is a good guy. I just think, you know, he was in a situation with some women. You know, he probably may have, like, played around with a girl and hit her on her behind or something like that as a joke, and, you know, she probably ran to the police or some crap like that. I don't know.
Maybe,
it sounds like something
not.
Like that.
I mean, maybe he wasn't even there. You know, there's just nothing out there right now to where you just, you know what's going on. So,
yeah. I'm going to bring Watley in. Let's bring Watley in and see what he has to say about this, because I know.
Yeah, y'all just scared to say what it is. They trying to bring that nigga down, and you know it.
We don't condone that language on the show, though. But
not at all.
Keep going.
Okay, then I'll say it properly. They trying to bring that African-American down. Does that make you feel better? It happens all the time. It happens in Tennessee all the time. They get these top recruits, these black recruits. They about to take over Sally and Jenny's son's positions because they're better than Sally and Jenny's son. Next thing you know, Sally and Jenny's husband, who is on the Knoxville Police Department, pulls them over on the strip and charges them with something. Next thing you know, they don't lost their scholarship, and they're out. They were the top prospect, about to be the man on campus, but Southern politics kicked in, and now they're gone. And it happens everywhere in the South. If you think it don't, you crazy. And like you said, it could have something to do with who they want the Heisman to be. Okay, Jameis done came on as a freshman. We've been working McCarron for 4 years. We want him to get his. We want him to go first overall. Let's get something on Jameis. You think it don't happen? You better know where you at.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I really believe, like, even with this whole situation and with Josh Freeman in Tampa, I kind of equate that to that. You know, I mean, if you're going out, You know, you better make sure you have people with you, because you never know, the bouncer could be looking at you at the club. He sees
exactly.
you drinking. He calls the police
they
and say, hey, this guy's drinking. Look for him. You know what I'm saying? You can't take anybody for granted, man. You better, I'm saying, you know, you just got to be very, very, very particular, because people are trying to look for anything to make it stick on you. You know, you're a day late to the football camp. They're trying to make anything to stick you.
I don't agree with the Josh Freeman analogy, though, but I agree with you.
Okay, whatever.
And a lot of times, it really, and believe it or not, it's more about self-preservation. It ain't that little girl, she ain't really out to destroy Jameis. She's out to get publicity for herself because she out to make some money. So she knows she got something that can get her in the headlines, can get her in the newspapers, and possibly get her some money for her little baby or her family or whatever. So she going to do what she can do to promote herself. She ain't really out to hurt him. She's out to help herself. But in helping herself, she's hurting him.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a problem with the black athletes. I was talking to one of my cousins the other day with these black athletes. They gotta learn how to quit high-siding all the time. And, you know, and just at least until a lot of these cats, they didn't wait till they get their money before they start up. It's like, at least get your money, you know, first before, you know. I mean, last season we were talking about Adrian McPherson. You know, out of all the Florida State players, who's the only player we used to see at parties? Adrian, you know, who's the one who had the most talent and didn't make it? Adrian McPherson.
Right.
You know, it's like
I know we gotta go into the NFL later, but your boy Dwayne Bowe, he got caught. The boy was doing 49 in a 35 and got pulled over and searched. Tell me somebody wasn't out to find something on that nigga. Come on now. Who don't do 45 in a 39, in a 35? And they pulled him over for speeding?
But you know, it's like I said, I mean, we got to learn how to, if it's self-preservation for the girl, it needs to be self-preservation for the athlete too. You know, quit all the high side. It's like, you know, like I said, with cats who smoke weed, okay, you smoke weed. Why do you have to smoke weed in your car after you leave the club at 2 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It goes back to the old school. You know, everybody knows, you know, in the old school neighborhood, when you see the cat shooting dice on the corner, they could be in somebody's backyard, they could be in somebody's house, but where they choose to shoot dice at? Right in front of the liquor store where the police could see them. You know?
Right.
So it could be, because they want to be on the scene, they want everybody to see what they're doing. But then they end up getting arrested.
No, what they want is to be able to go ahead and buy that beer as soon as they win that money.
that too.
Yeah.
You know, but like
come
I said,
on now, you know how that works.
They
straight shooting craps for that one quart.
Yeah, it just mind boggles me. It's like, you know, you smoke your weed, go to your house, you can smoke all the weed you want, you know, but why do you have to do it in the car? From the 5-minute ride from your club to home, you know it doesn't
exactly.
make you know you're in a Ferrari, you know cats is looking at you, you know it doesn't make sense. It's just it's mind boggling. I mean, you know, and like I said, I hate to say it, but it's always the black athlete to do the same thing over and over again. You know, you taking a gun into a club, you know, just like old boy who shot himself. You took a gun into the club.
Burris.
You know, you got Burris. You know. Why are you bringing a loaded gun into the club and you shoot yourself in the leg? You know, it's like, come on, bud. You know, it's like, well, you know, it's mind-boggling some of the stuff these dudes do. And I get tired of defending it. It's like I can't even defend it no more because it's insane behavior.
But you have to realize that a lot of these athletes are not your smartest individuals. They were known from ninth grade on for their talent, so that they were pushed through with that 2.0 GPA all the way through high school, all the way through college. Now they got that millions of dollars, and whether they were actually intelligent or not is not the issue. And a lot of these guys are not intellectuals, let's put it that way.
I think it's that. I also think it's because literally they think that they're above the law. I mean, I can be smart, but I can touch fire and get burnt and be stupid and know not to touch it again.
These cats constantly touch the fire thinking that they're going to, you know, and that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again trying to get a different result, you know.
Because they think
cats,
they're above the it. They think, you know, they think I'm ice, so I can touch fire so many times until I'm completely melted, I'm good.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, with this Jameis situation, I hope, you know, like I said, I hope, you know, for everybody involved, I hope that the girl wasn't sexually assaulted by anybody, and I hope that he didn't do it. But it's like, you know, put yourself in a better situation. If you see it's a drunk girl in a hotel room or wherever you is, don't sleep with her. You know what I mean? Like I said, you don't know this chick. You know, it's just, like I said, just protect yourself. You know, these cats, they don't even protect themselves. And it's, you know.
Well, look at Manziel. Look at Manziel. He's from a wealthy family, a big-time Texas family. And when all of that stuff was going down about him getting money and stuff, before the media could even really start getting into what he did, the family sued the media and told him, the next time I hear anybody saying something, we're suing you, everybody. And all of a sudden, ESPN and everybody stopped saying it. Why? They flipped the script on him before they could even start saying something about him.
That's true. Maybe, like I say, maybe black families need to start taking mind and taking notice of that. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like I say, how did they release Jameis's name if they didn't question him? There's no evidence. I mean, to me, that's slanderous. You know?
Exactly.
Like I'd be like, you guys are endangering my draft stock. You know? It's like, you know, you're endangering my Heisman probability. You know? I'd sue too. So, you know, maybe people need to take a note of what the Manziel family did, because that's, you know, that's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Quazel Tex, you guys, Mike, you guys have anything else you want to say?
Oh, mm-hmm. I got right one more there. Thing I want to say. That little thing about Baylor, I am not an FSU fan, but FSU would sexually man rape Baylor.
Yep.
That is the worst analogy ever, considering what we were just talking about.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Baylor's not in the league. They ain't even in the same sentence as Alabama, Florida State, man. They ain't even want to Baylor.
Okay, yeah. Remember Utah wasn't in the same league as Alabama either.
Oh, come on, please. Yeah,
game.
Right. We really wanted to play a game, too, right? I know, right?
What?
Yeah, Boise State was really better than Oklahoma that year. Yeah, I know. With Adrian Peterson, oh, yeah,
happened.
I know.
Exactly.
I know. And they really wanted to play that game? Oh, yeah, I know. Please.
So you didn't want to play, so you go out and lose and get
no,
there?
No, we did not
that's,
want
that's
to play because we were not up for the national championship. No, we did not want to play that game.
So to protest that, you go out and lose. So to protest that, you go out and
we
lose.
We did not go to practice motivated in order to prepare for that game. That's correct. We were not motivated because we were let down by sticking Tim Tebow in that, which we got him back the following year, though. But that's another conversation. We sent him away in a senior year crying. That was music to my ears. I remember that. But anyway, that started the dynasty.
Okay,
which was better than the dynasty, which was better than the Miami of the 80s dynasty. But anyway.
Okay.
And
anyway,
the 2000 USC
team. Let me get you guys picks for this Georgia-Auburn game. Who you got for Georgia-Auburn, Quazel?
Auburn, man, in a blowout. In a blowout.
That's 21 plus?
About 14. 14 to 21, yeah. 14 to 21 plus, yeah.
Okay. Tony, who you got?
Who's home?
At Auburn.
Oh, yeah, it's Auburn. I give it to Auburn by 10.
Okay, Mike?
Well, I got Auburn. Georgia's kind of hurting. Auburn is a team, like you said, Mike, was Don being their coach, man. They even talking about it. They finally getting them any more than they do. But, yeah, I think Auburn's going to get them. It wouldn't be surprising me if Auburn do beat them pretty good.
Tex?
Auburn. I mean, no, not Auburn, Georgia. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait,
boy. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Georgia, too.
I'm looking forward to this, boy. I'm glad that y'all two picked against me, just like Clemson and FSU. Ooh, I'm so ready for this. This is just gonna further emphasize how right I am on most of this stuff. But anyway, keep going. Just like Clemson and Florida. Ooh, I can't wait, boy.
Either
my goodness.
One of those is your,
Neither one of those is your team.
I can't.
You shouldn't be that.
I know,
happy.
But I love. You know, I take pride in foreseeing things before everybody else does because I'm foreseeing this Auburn and Alabama game. I'm foreseeing this thing right here because I'm telling you, they're coming as a top five team. I'm telling you, by the end of this year, they're going to be a top five team because I've seen them play the past 3 weeks. And you saw what they did
but
against.
Still
you saw
not
what they did
Alabama
against
caliber. They might be getting there. But when they go to play Alabama, they are still not Alabama caliber.
No. Players-wise, they're not Alabama. Let me get this straight. They're not players. They're not Alabama in terms of talent, player for player. No, they're not. But in terms of the scheme and the way they're playing, they match up against Alabama when they play them.
Alabama
going with
that
whole
mud hole
advantage.
In them.
Okay, we're going to see. I don't see that happening. Alabama will not stuff a mud hole in Auburn. Trust me on that. Alabama wins the game, it'll be a very close game. Okay, but anyway, let's just see what happens this weekend. We'll go one game at a time.
All right, that's in the future, though, so we'll have to look at that in the future. Anyway, Clausel, you want to go ahead and put Tony on hold? You want to bring in a couple of callers before you switch to NFL?
Yeah, let me bring in James real quick.
Okay.
Are you serious, bro? let me get something real straight here, man. We got to get something real, real straight here with this thing about Utah and Alabama right now, okay? Clausel, don't ever say that Alabama was not prepared to go into that game against Utah.
They did not want to go in. They were not prepared to go in that game.
No. I don't even want to hear that excuse because if I was a fan of the Alabama Crimson Tide and I spent money to go into New Orleans to see them in a Sugar Bowl to go against Utah and then come to find out that they weren't even psyched up for the game, I would go right to Bryant Denny Stadium and demand my money back.
Well, they should have done that because that's what happened. Those fans should have done that because that's exactly what happened.
Because I wouldn't even do that as a football player. Say, hey, you know what? Since I lost to Tim Tebow and the Florida Gators, I wasn't really much. No.
Yes, you
could.
No.
You don't.
Yes, you
could. I don't go into.
You never seen teams do that before. I've seen plenty of teams do that before.
So then on the flip side, we could put that on the Florida Gators last year for going into the Sugar Bowl and getting beat down by Louisville. So I guess they weren't up.
No,
for
but
that
they beat Florida.
Either.
No, they got outplayed. Well, look at, I mean, a lot of teams do that when they get up for a big game and they lose that big game. The next week they play like crap because they had their whole season built in that one game, and that's what happened with Alabama that year.
Well, so they had a whole month to prepare for Utah of all.
Right,
teams.
But they wanted to go to the national championship and they didn't get a chance to play, so they were let down. I mean, they were like, "Well, we're gonna play Utah? Come on, man!" And they didn't prepare.
But how favored were they against Utah though that year? Like 20 points? Come on, man!
I guess because they were Alabama, but they weren't ready to play, man. They didn't want to play. I'm gonna let you get the last word on that, man. I don't even want to go back and forth.
All right, now quick, I'm gonna pick Auburn. I'm gonna pick Auburn over Georgia for this one. It's a home game for Auburn, and then they got the off week before they prepare for Alabama. So Auburn's gonna be getting ready for Alabama, man.
Okay. All right. Let's put you back on hold, James. Let's see who else is on here. Let's bring in Steve to get his picks. Steve, you're on with CNT Firestorm.
Hey, what's going on? I pick Auburn in that game. I just like
really?
What they bring to the table. I'm not a Georgia fan, period. So I'll never support Georgia in anything they do because just when those Georgia fans are the most Florida haters I ever seen in my life. So, I mean, not UF, because I'm not a UF fan. Let's get this straight. But the state of Florida, when I was living in Atlanta, they hate all Florida sports. They got all this trash. They haven't. But yet Florida has outdone them in all phases and all levels of the game, from baseball to basketball, football, to everything. Any sport you can think of, Florida has more national championships and rings than Georgia has ever put together. So and World Series because the Braves only got one. Tomorrow got two. But we're not going to get that. But anyways, I go with Auburn. I like what they're bringing to the table. They're getting ready for Alabama. I mean, that offense is – the only thing I might be suspect is their defense. They're giving up some points this year, but I like Auburn's Auburn's chances. And I think the second best team in Florida is UCF, hands down. I don't see a lot of teams. I don't think nobody. They're one of the best teams that they're not going to get any credit for anything. They would have beat South Carolina. They'd really be like in the top 10 right now. So UCF, yeah. I better give them boys some credit, man. They come into play. Hmm.
They are pretty highly ranked right now. They're 17th in the BCS.
Yeah, but they ain't the second best team in Florida, man. They would not beat Florida, Miami. I don't think they would beat those teams, no.
Yes, they would. They would beat Florida.
So you technically, they're the second best team in Florida right now after FSU. Technically,
oh yeah, okay. Would they beat Florida now, or would they beat them at the beginning of the year? Would they beat them now because Florida's not even motivated to play anybody? Yeah, they probably could beat Florida now if they played them at UCF.
Nah, they
would see them beating them.
Wait! Did y'all watch that South Carolina UCF game?
Yeah, I watched it. At South Carolina, they were losing at the half. They were losing at the half, and then South Carolina came back with Mike Davis. And I think Connor Shaw got hurt at the beginning of the game. So,
I mean,
South Carolina beat him with their backup quarterback and Mike Davis. I saw the game.
So UCL quarterback didn't get hurt either?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, so you're sitting here telling me that Florida is a better team than South Carolina. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But
South Carolina
struggled.
They struggled in that game. I don't care what nobody says. They struggled.
Oh, they did struggle. They did.
They struggled in that game. UCF, they would have came a little bit harder. I think they would have beat them. You saw what they did at Louisville. I mean,
yeah.
We all saw this on TV, man. It's not a joke. UCF, they got a squad. George O'Leary has locked. That's why USF is so garbage right now. Because George O'Leary has taken, he's got all I-4 on lock from Central Florida, from this side, from Daytona to Cocoa to Tampa to everywhere. He's been all them recruits. And y'all think it's a game, man. Storm Johnson left Miami, went and is balling out of control at UCF right now.
Yeah, I get that.
That's just a team that ain't nobody really talking about. But that team, I guarantee you, you sleep on them, you will lose that. You will lose. I'm trying to tell you, UCL.
I mean, are they going to be good? You're going to be just as good next year, you think?
I don't know about next year. I know this.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch them play when they play USF. I'm gonna go to Orlando and watch them play. I mean, but you know, I mean, they get all the B level talent. I'll give you that. The B side talent, B level talent, not B side, but B level talent.
The B level. Hey,
One thing I didn't know about USF that I found out when I was watching one of the games, they said, did you know that that's the, this kind of out of subject too, but I just wanted to say it. They're the second largest school in terms of attendance in the country.
Yeah, they got all this online,
you know, all that type of stuff, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They got a beautiful campus too. USF?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, Florida, you know, like you – Florida's a talent-rich school, and it's like I say, this is one of the reasons why I used to get mad at FAMU. You know, Florida is enough talent to where every school should be good in their level. You know what I mean? It's not, you know what I mean? It's enough talent going around, and it's enough cats that probably couldn't have qualified to go to a FSU or a University of Florida. They might have to go to, like, a FAMU to where, you know, the school should be like that. You know, now you're starting to see schools like UCF. USF was kind of doing it. They kind of fell off this year. I don't know. They had high expectations of. But now you're starting to see these mid schools in Florida that are going to start moving up into this upper echelon because of the talent level of the state, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of area. Like Central Florida for a long time, we weren't a talent-based area. I mean, we would get a little sprinkles here and there like a Warren Sapp or Ray Lewis. Or, you know, the little sprinkles. We had the little sprinkles back in the day. But now, Central Florida got all Alabama, Nick Saban, that dude was smart, man. He came down here and said, hey, y'all got some talent in Central Florida. We finna rack these boys up.
Pop has been a football powerhouse for the past, 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, they have. But they haven't really been going they have, but they don't have as many D1 recruits. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They're not going to get that many top level guys. But they're going to get more guys going to like a UCF or USF or maybe some of the smaller schools. FAU, FIU. They're going to be able to fill those rosters up with guys.
Right. I mean, the biggest recruit Alpaca's had is Jeremy Gallen. You see what he's doing at Michigan. He was the biggest thing to come out lately from a pocket, but,
Exactly.
But
it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, Florida's talent restate. But let me put you on hold here, Steve.
I want to say one thing about that. Hold on, real quick, one thing. If Winston, something crazy happens, hypothetically, come to FAMU. That's all I got to say.
Nah, he's not coming to FAMU.
Yeah, he's not.
Dude,
but I would love him.
Do you realize that nine times?
I would love him too, but I know that ain't gonna happen.
I hate myself for saying this, but do you realize that 9 times out of 10 the girl that's probably making these charges from FAMU, right?
Maybe. We'll see.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on to our NFL portion. We had a couple of big games that kind of squatted out, didn't really yield the game I thought. Let's start out with Carolina versus San Francisco. I thought this was going to be a pretty big game. I thought it was going to be a high scoring game. I really wanted to see a big premier matchup between Colin Kaepernick and Cam Newton. And Carolina came away with a win, but it was it was really a pooper of a game. It was 9-6. Didn't live up to his expectations. Carolina, I think they did win their fourth straight or third straight game. They've been on a hot streak lately. What did you guys take away with this, and what do you guys think about both of those teams going forward? Tex?
I didn't expect a high-scoring game. I expected a defensive game, but I thought more like along the lines of 20-16, 23-17, or something of that nature. But the thing that you had two strong defenses. You had you kind of had two quarterbacks that have been inconsistent, so that kind of hampers your offense. I think losing Vernon Davis hurt the 49ers. You look at Kaepernick, he's thrown 9 touchdowns, 7 have been to Vernon Davis. 2 have been to Anquan Boldin. So that tells you how important Vernon Davis is to that offense. They ran Gore. I thought they could have ran Gore a little more. I mean, he was chewing, it's tough to chew Carolina up, but Gore was having some success running against Carolina. Newton, Cam, he's a talented quarterback, but, he's so inconsistent with his play. I think his defense backed him. Defense does travel. They backed him up that game. Cam wasn't doing anything special. It was an ugly game to me. It was kind of ugly. I do think Carolina, I think they're real. But they only go as far as the quarterback is taking them. And San Francisco, they're getting healthy. I still think that even with Kaepernick struggling a little bit, I think the arrow points up because these guys are going to get healthy. Alden Smith is going to round the form here in a little bit, and Frisco is going to be ready to go. And again, with Carolina, it's up to Cam Newton.
Okay. Quazell, what about you? Did you get to check out the game?
Yeah, I saw the game. I mean, it was a good clutch win by Carolina. I'm still not sold. I still think Cam Newton will be Josh Freeman Jr. next year. I just want to put that out there because the fans, they don't want him there. They don't want Cam there. But I wish him well, though. San Francisco is going to be there, and I'm not worried about San Francisco, but I think Carolina might slither out.
before the end of the year, even though they have a very good defense. That's all I have to say.
What about you?
Well, sometimes games be ugly like that, but on the road, he did make some plays. Texas, like they do, Carolina's defense is good. He did go up against a good defense. San Francisco defense is, even without all the stuff, they still, good defense. So, he came out with the W. It was kind of sloppy, too, because they could have lost the game, too, because, almost fumbled that ball and during the time of it at the end, and y'all could have got it, Frisco could have got the ball and, let's say, kicked the field goal and won the game. So, a little bit sloppy, but, he pulled out with the W. But I think Carolina, the way they're playing, they got the quarterback. As long as he's all on Cam, if he continues doing what he's doing, they're going to be in there in the playoffs.
If he continues to do what he does, they won't go anywhere.
I'll say continue to play, Cam Newton, capability of playing, I should say.
Well, he's not playing like he's capable of playing. He's not. And if he keeps along this course, then they won't go anywhere. It's maddening because he sometimes makes throws and you're like, man, he makes throws nobody else is making. But his ball placement is so erratic, it's inconsistent. Now his teammates do have to help him out a little bit more. These guys have to catch the football. The line needs to get their protections down. They have to do a little better at that. But most of the time this is Newton just not getting the ball to guys, and he's just an erratic thrower, and you can't. First of all, you're not going to beat New Orleans if you're erratic as a quarterback. So, it's not if he plays the way he's capable of. He has to play better. And there's no way around it.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, they're a young team. They got a nice young defense. They have won 5 in a row. I was mistaken. I thought it was 4, but yeah, it's been 5 in a row, so they're 6-3 right now. So they're actually right behind New Orleans. Like I said, it's going to be tough to beat a team like that if you got Cam, playing as inconsistent as he's been. Let's jump over to this other game. Very exciting game. I know everybody saw the Hail Mary pass between Baltimore and Cincinnati. Hail Mary catch that Mason Green made. I don't know why they don't. I mean, you figure guys would know to swat the ball down instead of hitting the ball up.
By this time
in their career. I mean, how many times we see that happen? It's like, what are you doing? Especially, it was a dude. I can't even think of his name right now. He was at the end, and it got swatted to him, and he swatted it up hella high. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think he tried to swat it down, but then he swatted it up.
He had a brain fart because he swatted. I said, it would have just went down if it would have just hit him and went, but he swatted it up behind him. And the other thing is nobody standing by A.J. Green. But, it's like, so I don't know. Even though they did end up winning that game, that was just, that was a kind of a weird little scenario of things for me. What did you guys take away from that? Did you guys get to check that out, check the whole game out?
Well, I checked out.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I did.
What's your take on it, Tech? I'm curious to see what your take on it is.
Well, it's the Cincinnati. They're like Carolina. They have the roster. Love
the
quarterback,
right?
Exactly.
Because I know you're not a fan of Andy Dalton.
Dalton
is, and he was the same way as Josh Freeman last year. People fell in love with the numbers, but on the field, these guys weren't all that effective. They had many good games that made them look better than what they really were on the field. Dalton, again, you love Cincinnati's roster. You love the depth that they have on defense. You love A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, Gio Bernard.
You like the offensive line, but you just don't like Andy Dalton. You don't like Andy Dalton. This guy he's just not a big-time quarterback. And as far as Baltimore is concerned, their offense has to pick it up. Baltimore's defense right now is better than what it was last year. I don't know why people don't get that, but they are. The defense has been excellent, holding people down. If Baltimore had any kind of semblance of an offense, they'd probably be undefeated right now.
Well, let's just say Joe Flacco. Let's just say Joe Flacco is a joke, man. That contract is a joke. Everything about him is laughable right now. 59%, 12 TDs to 11 interceptions. You know, 77 overall quarterback. I mean,
it has nothing to do with Anquan Boldin.
Ain't making him throw the ball into the other team's hands. You know, like I said, I think it's because he got that contract and he knows he's getting breaded now. So, you know, he ain't got to play, you know. I think it happens with a lot of guys. Once they get their big contract, they kind of fall off. Usually not the good guys, but usually the guys that are playing for a contract. You know, that's why they usually have the guys, he's in the last season of his contract. He's playing good. Then when he gets the contract, he disappears. You know, that's what's going on with Flacco.
And on the flip side of that, though, I mean, the dude, and I don't think Flacco is great. I think he has a few traits that endear, that make you think, oh, he can, you know, he's a nice quarterback. But, I mean, he had a postseason that kind of rivaled Joe Montana's postseason. I mean, beside Montana, that's probably the best postseason by a quarterback I've ever seen. Montana's, his, and the run Eli had on this last one. You know, that was a great run right there. But, you're right. I mean, Flacco, he got paid. You know, it is looking kind of like a joke, but you know, timing is everything. You're gonna let a guy go after he won you a Super Bowl, after you've been on the brink all this time? You know, the Ravens been right there for a long time.
Finally
they got that. So you know, I guess that's just part of the business right there, but.
I want to throw this in real quick while we're talking about Ravens. Well, it's an ex-Raven. Ed Reed was released by the Texans. You guys think somebody's going to pick him up, or you think this is it for Mr. Reed? What do you think, Jack?
I think that's it. He cleared waivers.
Yeah. They were saying the Jets might look into him. It's thrown out.
If somebody wanted him, they would have taken him on waivers.
Yeah.
I first thought he got released. I thought maybe, you know, it's played and they were saying a comment. He was talking about criticizing, I guess, the culture, and that's pretty much led to him pretty much being out.
He wasn't even starting. I mean, it's a sad end to a career like that, you know. It seems like it happens really quick, too. It's like, wow, you know. I don't know. A lot of these guys, they fall off really quick once they start getting around 30. It's scary.
The other thing about this is people saying that he spoke out and that's why he got released. I know the Texans don't like for guys to be talking and stuff like that. But, you know, other guys that play for the Texans have said something similar to what Reed said. They didn't get released. It's just if you ain't bringing nothing to the field, you know, don't say nothing. And the Ravens, who know Reed better than anybody else, didn't want to bring him back. So why do I want to sign him as a free agent, especially when he's kind of been in a little decline? So, you know.
I was gonna say about Joe Flacco, I think you put him in the same status as Eli Manning a little bit. I think they're both just above average quarterbacks, but not that franchise quarterback like, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees type, you know, where they can carry the team like that, where, you know, being the face of the team.
Mike, what are you talking about?
No, I'm saying a quarterback comparison, you know, Flacco getting that contract, which we all know he did kind of get overpaid for getting, you know, $200 million, which, you know, he's not you know, we're not Drew Brees or Brady or Peyton Manning.
Well, nobody is. Nobody's that. But I'm saying he just the run. I'm saying what I was saying was the run he had just
looked like what Joe Montana
did back in the 80s.
I agree with that. What I'm saying from now, saying now, just showing like how he is, you know, how he's playing now. He's just an above average quarterback.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if I put Eli in that category. I mean, Eli's proven he can lead a team. Yeah, but he's having a bad season right now. And I've never been big on Eli. I mean, I don't know if I put him in a Flacco category. I mean, he's a multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback. So I don't know if I put him in a Flacco category. He's having a bad season right now.
But he'd be inconsistent too. I mean, he was kind of inconsistent last year. He started well, and he being inconsistent.
Sometimes that happens with age, and you know, you're playing on a different team. It's not the same Giants team, you know. So I mean, like I said, I can't. You know,
I don't know about that, man. We three straight victories, man. I don't know about that, man. We coming back, you know.
But we'll see. I'm saying he's not in the category of those guys.
It ain't got nothing to do with the offense. The defense has gotten it together. That's all we need right now. Let me get it back in the fold.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
But I mean,
it's been the defense.
Eli's showing that he has, you know, elite tools, you know. And when he's showing that when he uses them, he can use them well. So I can't put him in that, you know, Flacco category. Flacco, it's young for Flacco too. This is, you know, we can't, you know, just say he's gonna be a bust. We gotta see what's gonna happen. I'm just saying it's a letdown from this contract. So, you know, it remains to be seen. But speaking of quarterbacks, we have here. Tex made a good list: Nick Foles, Case Keenum, and the all-time favorite Mike Glennon are former backup quarterbacks that are now leading their teams. Out of these guys, who do you think has a future, and who do you think is going to be factoring in for the long term of their team? Let me start off with Clavell because I know who he's going to jump on immediately. Go ahead, Clavell.
Who you say? Between Nick Foles, Mike Glennon, and who?
Case Keenum.
I haven't really looked at Case Keenum that much. I've heard from people he's good, but I'm going to say Nick Foles. I don't think none of these guys are long-term, but if I had only because I've only seen Nick Foles and I haven't seen Case Keenum that much, and I've darn sure seen enough of Glennon. Glennon is straight garbage, man. He's the worst rookie quarterback in the league right now.
But he's better than Josh Freeman, though. That doesn't even deserve
a response. Do you think? Oh, so he's going to get 25 touchdowns and 6 picks, and don't even go with that all that happened in 3 games. Six. I don't even want to hear that. What I'm saying is Glennon going to ever get that? Please, but you know what? I hope that they stay with Glennon. I hope they win a few more games because I do not want to see Teddy Bridgewater go there. I'm begging, and I hope they stay with him the following year because I don't want to see Winston go there either. So, but anyway,
to answer your question, why do you want to see the Bucs bad? As a resident,
put Tebow or somebody in there. Get AJ McCarron. He'll deal with Shiano. Let him deal with Shiano. I don't want people's careers to be messed up going to Tampa. You know what I mean? I want Teddy Bridgewater to succeed because I do not want to see him come to Tampa. Trust me on that. So, that's another. So, let me ask you a question anyway, man. Nick Foles. That's the answer.
You still there, Clavell? Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Nick Foles. Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. What about you?
For the now, it looked like Nick Foles is going to be that quarterback for the now right now between the other two. I mean, he's playing well, man. The Eagles, they still in the hunt, and they probably could win the division. I think they schedule, you know, they got, you know, a bye week, I think, in another week or so, and they got some home games. They got 3 straight home games, so their next road game is going to be into December, so they got a favorable schedule.
Mm-hmm. Hold up. You got something to say? Because I want to bring in the callers here. They've been waiting for a little bit.
Okay. Let me say this. I kind of I want to go a different course. I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna. I don't know why. I think Case Keenum, for some reason, I think he's going to be the guy who's going to factor into the long term of Dallas. So I mean of Houston over those two. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I don't think Chip Kelly likes Nick Foles. I don't think he's shown time and time again that he doesn't want that dude as his quarterback. And no matter how good he plays, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. We hear you.
I said no matter how good he plays, I think they're going to ship him either. I see Case Keenum maybe settling in Houston and being their guy.
Why you think that? Why you think that though, Mike?
I mean, look at the responses you're getting from the coaches. I mean, you're getting a coach in Chip Kelly who has a dude playing excellent games and they're still not committed on playing him. And you got Case Keenum, he's a Houston guy. He fits in there. Houston right now, they don't have their running game going right now, so he's not going to play the best that he could. He's been throwing touchdowns and he hasn't been throwing picks. So don't turn the ball over is one of the biggest things you can tell a quarterback to do. And as long as he can do that, you can roll with him.
Yeah. I have to say too, I guess he's showing the staff. I mean, then too, we don't know the future of the culture of the Houston, but I guess he's showing the team that they're gonna go probably a different direction. That quarterback, where he's one of the guys they could be looking at for the future. Well, let's say if Houston gets in the top pick, they might could look at a quarterback, or if he showed what he could do, hey, maybe he could be their next quarterback.
All right, I want to bring in Wiley here. Hold up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Wiley?
You guys ask is which one do you think could be more of the franchise quarterback? And I would say Glennon. Why? Because Shiano is stupid enough to do some dumb shit like that.
Yep. Okay, that's fair. I agree with you there. That's fair. That's correct. I'm hoping with Shiano. I mean, hope Glennon. I'm hoping.
Yes. If they stick with Shiano, I can see Glennon being the quarterback because he's so arrogant and he's so rebellious and refusing to do anything but his way that if that's his man, he don't care if he's out there throwing 7 interceptions a game, he's going to keep him in. And I think Glennon would be the one that of the three you named would be the quarterback that can more likely be the franchise quarterback for those teams.
And the fans want him. Fans want Glennon. The Tampa fans, they want him.
Yeah.
So keep him. Shoot.
Yeah.
Don't bring Teddy here. Please don't bring Teddy Bridgewater here. Please don't.
Is this anti-Shiano sentiment? Is this coming from the fans or just you two?
No, the fans want him. I went to the game.
It's definitely coming from me, and I'm a season ticket holder, so you can say it's coming from me as a fan.
Yeah, and I was sitting in – I mean, remember you gave me the tickets, and I was sitting in the stands, and, Glennon completing 5-10-yard passes and whatnot, and they're like, yeah, Freeman could never do that. I can hear it in the background.
Exactly.
They love it.
Exactly.
Keep him.
Hold on, what
did
you say?
I can't hear you.
What did you say they said, Carville?
They were like, yeah, Freeman could never do that, complete those intermediate passes. They was like, yeah. I was like, keep that dude, man. Keep him. Is that what y'all
exactly.
want? You can have him.
Every single time he makes a completion, you think that he had just won the Super Bowl up there in that corner.
But Tony, by your own words, all you care about is winning, and he did win.
What is Glennon won? A game? Are you kidding? Okay, whatever. I didn't want to talk about
that. That's one more than Josh Freeman has won this year, right?
This year, right? Oh. But yeah, but let's look at when their careers. Let's see when Glennon has been in the league for 5 years, and Freeman has been compared to Freeman's first 5 years, and let's see if Glennon
first 5 years might be his last 5 years from what I'm looking at.
I hope not. We'll see.
Right now, Minnesota, he's not even being mentioned now. I think Castle is going to be in the quarter to start the next game. Pounder getting hurt again. So
Tampa Bay went and did everything they possibly could do Monday night to lose that game. They were up 15 to nothing and almost ended up losing it 19 to 15 because they let them score 19 straight points, and then they went and scored a touchdown in the last minute.
Going against the Miami team, they got all those, of course, you know, the whole, all the distractions they're going through, and almost, you know, to come out like that. Wow.
And Atlanta's coming in town this weekend too. So
that's another stinking. Sorry, team. I was just thinking about Florida might have the three worst teams in the NFL right now between Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville. Those are some pretty horrible franchises right now, man.
Yep.
I agree.
I mean, they're talking about some cats in Miami losing their jobs now over this. Even though I don't want to get all the way back into, I was talking about these cats might lose their jobs now.
Oh, so, they will lose their jobs.
There's gonna be people losing their jobs.
They're gonna lose their jobs. It's not even
another
thing.
John Jones has challenged Richie Incognito to a fight.
Yeah, I saw Texas. Your post on your status on that. Yep.
I wonder how tough Richie Incognito is gonna be to accept that challenge. I want to see about that.
He ain't accepting that challenge.
Said he kill him. John Jones said, "Man, I kill Incognito."
I really want to see that fight. I want to see Incognito take his shirt off and run around all crazy against John Jones and do all that crazy man stuff against him.
I think y'all being prejudiced against Incognito.
No, he ain't one of us.
He's an honorary black man. Is that what he is?
I was just about to say, according to the Dolphins locker room, he's an honorary black man, so he can't be prejudiced against him. He's one of us.
That's why he's called Incognito.
he could say Nick, as much as he wants, he can do it. Kill people.
I wonder. Hey, you know what? I know it doesn't have, but he's supposed to be one of us. I wonder how he might feel about Stand Your Ground or Trayvon or, you know, some of that other stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Is he one of us then, too? Is he an honorary black man right there, right then,
or just
right now?
Did you see his interview? He knows how to act proper and polite when he needs to. Did you see that interview he did with Jay Glazer? He was in there looking like a church deacon.
He's
just trying to get back into the league. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to get his job back. So he's going to do and say whatever he has to do. And if you want to call that acting like a Negro, he's going to step and fetch it. He's going to do a little jig. He's going to do whatever he's got to do to get his job back.
They already said that. They said, too, that Jonathan Martin most likely is not going to come back to the Dolphins.
Nope.
Anyways, let's move on from that, man. We done with that.
I wanted to get your thoughts about the quarterback, so I don't know if we got to hear from you.
About
me?
Cam Newton?
No, about Foles Kingdom. Did you give who you think is gonna, who yours is going to be?
Yeah, I told you, Glennon.
No, I was talking to Tex.
Oh, okay.
Keenum. I'm with you on Keenum, man. Now I don't know if he's a long term answer, but I think he has the best shot. You know, Keenum had a skill set coming out of Houston. The only thing you worried about with Keenum was his physicality, and I mean that's, you're like, my goodness, if he gets hit, he's gonna get broke. But he had a lot of traits coming out, a lot of qualities coming out of Houston. When you look at him, like, damn. This guy can be an NFL quarterback, and he's showing up with it right now. Now, we don't know. I don't know if he's, you know, like, okay, Keenum is our quarterback 6, 7, 8 years down the line. But, Bud is showing up, and you know, he's showing his ass right now, you know.
Now, I want to ask you last session. I'm going to ask you right now because I'm remembering about it. What have you heard? Have you heard anything about University of Houston's program? I know they've been playing pretty good football lately. Is this going to be another program in Texas on the rise? Could they pull a Baylor, you know, and start getting top recruits? You think?
I think it's Not without Sumlin. Not without, you know, they'll still pull a few guys, but, you know, they're going to, the most of the guys are going to go Texas, Baylor, TCU, Texas A&M, OU.
So you think they're still just getting kind of a residue left over from having Sumlin there?
I think so. I believe. We'll know about them in about 2 years, though.
Exactly. Okay.
How you like that? Okay. Text, though, since you mentioned about Houston, how you like that coach, though? You think the guy, you know, got the program, though? You think he's the man for the job for Houston? Or they got to find another coach?
He's all right, but I don't want too much to talk about them, you know.
Okay, let's move into this next subject we had here. Let's see. I want to get some of these questions answered. Let's start off with San Francisco 49ers. Is this false gold? Were we sold a false bill of goods by the Niners? Are they not who we thought they were? What's going on with San Francisco? You know, Kaepernick's not been playing like how we thought he was supposed to be playing. We know about the injury to Crabtree. And the issues they had in wide receivers. Manningham just now got reactivated, I believe. I don't know. I haven't looked and checked to see what the timetable is on Crabtree yet. So at least they're going to get a little bit of help back. Is there still time to right the ship in San Francisco and get things back on track, especially with the way Seattle's playing in conference? What do you guys think? Dex?
I think San Fran is fine. They're getting healthy. They'll be all right. You know, everybody was all loud about Anquan Boldin coming in. You know, Anquan Boldin was a declining player. Had a nice postseason with Baltimore. You know, Flacco's not missing anything with him. He hasn't done anything with San Francisco other than that Packers game. Hell, it's been Vernon Davis and Frank Gore, you know, like it's always been. You know, until Kaepernick gets in the lineup and then Crabtree starts to play better. But, you know, Frisco will be fine. They're getting healthy again. Hopefully Aldon Smith can come back and add something, help the pass rush. Their O-line is still one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. Kaepernick's still a dynamic quarterback. They have VD. They have Frank Gore. They have a coach. The Niners will be fine.
I think the return of Aldon Smith is really going to have a major effect on them. Clausell, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think they, you know, they're still legit. You know, they'll be there at the end when it's all said and done. You know, NFC Championship game, they'll probably still be there. So I'm not worried about the Niners.
Mike,
I'm to be quite frankly honest, right now, just looking at it, I mean, I know we're down that stretch now of the season. Just being real in the NFC, I think it's wide open. But, you know, San Francisco, I'm not going to write them off. I was one of the reasons why I didn't have them going all the way because of the injuries. But they are getting, you know, like I said, getting the guys back, and they're doing what they can do for right now. But, like I said, I'm just looking at it right now. I think it's wide open in the NFC. And anybody, whoever is healthy at the end, starting the playoffs and gets in, hey, they might have a chance to go all the way.
I mean, who is it? The Niners, the Seahawks, the Saints, and who else?
What'd you say?
Philadelphia.
To me, I think those are going to be the division winners.
I'm talking about to actually win it. You know, I only see New Orleans, Seattle.
New Orleans going to win that division.
San Francisco.
Of course,
they're the only three teams I see at the NFC that has a chance to win.
Well, you know,
I don't
think
San Francisco gets
past
the first round of the playoffs because San Francisco is going to go into the playoffs as a wild card because they're not going to win the NFC West. They're going to go in as a wild card, and they're going to end up having to play New Orleans in New Orleans, and I think they're going to get blasted in that first playoff game.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But another team I wanted to mention, though, we kind of talked about them a little while ago, Cam Newton. Carolina Panthers, you know, they won five straight. They're 6-3. You know, what can we take away from them right now? Are they pretenders or contenders? What do you guys think?
I think they are strong. I think they. I mean, I don't have them being a contender, but I think the way they play, they could be. They could be definitely be a wild card because they are playing good.
I think this game Sunday will definitely tell you what they are. The reason why is because New England. I still think New England will be the NFC, the AFC champion. And because I think New England will be the AFC champion, if Carolina can go and beat New England Sunday, I think they're real. If they lose, I think they just took advantage of a soft season at the first of the year, and the second half of the season is going to be rough on them.
Okay. Tess, what do you think?
Yes, even if they lose in New England, I don't feel like they're overrated. I don't feel like they're not for real. The roster is real. Their top level talent is as good to me as any team in the NFL. They're top shelf. It's up to Cam Newton. I can't say anything more than that. Everybody's always talking about it's all about the team and blah blah blah. Yeah, we get that, but yeah, this is up to Cam Newton. How good does Cam Newton want to be? You know, if he wants to be great, then you know he'll play great. And Carolina will go places. Period.
Clavel, your boy Cam Newton. You know, you've been boosting him up this whole season, saying they don't want him in Carolina.
No, they don't want him.
5-game winning streak. He's won 5 games. He's hot. He might be. You know, the team is hot. I mean, what's the deal? Do you think he has it in him to take them to the playoffs?
No, I think they're gonna fizzle out at the end, and that's gonna
but
be
I said,
the
do
more.
Cam Newton, do you think Cam Newton has it in him? Like Tech said,
he has it in him. He has a talent level in him. Yeah, he definitely does. It's just I don't think it's
not talent, not talent, not talent. Do you think he has it in him to take this team to the playoffs?
I don't know, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Not
I really
year.
Don't know, man. I really don't
not
know,
this
man.
Year.
I want to say yes, but I don't. And I think when they don't make the playoffs, he's going to get the brunt of the blame. He's going to get the blame.
I think he'll be on his shoulders. You got to look. They're 6-3 right now. Okay, so they could play 500 ball and make the playoffs right now. You don't think they can play 500 ball the rest of the season?
It depends who they play. I don't know who they play still.
Because the NFC South, let's be real right now, it's kind of weak this year, so that's why I say they got a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's the threat is New Orleans. They got to see how he's going to play with me, because I don't think Carolina played New Orleans yet at the Dome, so that's going to be another test on how he's going to perform in the Superdome.
That's true. I think we're going to come into a situation like you got to look at who's going to win the division.
The NFC East is going to be won by Philadelphia. The NFC North is going to be won probably by Detroit. The NFC South is going to be won by New Orleans. And the NFC West is going to be won by Seattle. So you only got two other teams that can make it.
Chicago out there,
Carolina out there, San Francisco out there, and Dallas out there.
But Tony, none of those are set in gold, though. None of those are set in stone. So, I mean, like I said, we'll have to see. I think New Orleans and Seattle is set in stone. I mean, the Carolina's one game behind New Orleans. Who knows? I mean, like I said, not set in stone. You know, I mean, like I said, this is going to show who Cam is. I don't think he's going to have anybody to blame if things don't go right, unless there's a major injury or something amazing happens. But, you know,
Cam's wide receiver core is not elite. They're average at best. Smith is old. He needs to retire.
Let me ask you this question. Whose wide receiver core is elite? I mean, what does that mean? Is Tom Brady's wide receiver core elite? Is Aaron Rodgers' wide receiver core elite?
It's better than Cam Newton's.
Really?
Peyton Manning's wide receiver core is elite.
elite.
I think
Dallas' wide receiver core is elite.
Who?
I think New York Giants' wide receiver core is elite.
They are?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we got to stop. We got to stop.
Just because Eli's having a bad year, Cruz, and them boys are good.
I'm apologizing for Cam Newton, man.
Exactly.
This is up to him. Their top, like I said, their top shelf talent is as good collectively as anybody in the NFL. They got studs everywhere. The receiver core ain't great.
I don't think their receivers are good.
They got a stud tight end. Smitty can still play.
Olsen is nice.
I mean,
Smitty is old. That nigga needs to retire.
But he can still play. He can play if Cam would just get him the ball.
No, he don't lost a step. He needs to go on and hang it up.
I agree, Tony, about they need a little bit more, but Steve Smith still
ain't lost nothing.
He's still effective.
This is up to Cam Newton, man. Well, so what do we need? Do we need him to have the 2002 Buccaneer defense? And
we need him to have Jake Lee. I say this, though. Steve Smith is better than any receiver the Saints have. I'll take Steve Smith over Marquise Colston.
The sad part about it is, and I really rarely ever agree with you, Tex, but he's right. Tex is right, man. It's up to Cam.
Exactly.
It's up to him, man. He has to deliver.
Yep. And if he doesn't,
even if he delivers, I don't see them beating New Orleans in the NFC South. I don't see them beating New Orleans, which puts them in a wild card position, and then it's two out of four teams that are available, and I don't know that Cam gets in. I don't see that Carolina gets in.
Win all your games. It's nobody to blame but Cam. That's just the player, so it's going to be on Cam. We can't make excuses for him anymore. Dude's in his third year. It's time to step your game up. Let's move on to KC.
Let me put James on here too.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, yeah, go ahead. Okay, yeah, let's just put James. Yeah.
Hey, and you can go to the next topic.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on, real quick, James. Hold on.
All
right. Yeah, I wanted to talk about KC now and see what everybody thought about them. Like I said, they've been taking heads all season long. So what you guys think that they're real? Like I said, I mean, I know people keep saying about Alex Smith, this and that, but, you know, like I said, the team, you know, they constantly keep, I mean, all they do is win, you know? And I think, like I said, I think we got to start looking at them now more than just a gimmick. I mean, Alex Smith, he ain't the best quarterback, but I think this is proven to be, I think this is the best defense in the NFL. And, you know, like I said, I think they're, you know, they're balling out. I mean, what more can we say, you know? And like I said, they haven't. And this with the offense, you know, basically being in cruise mode. So, I mean, like I said, what do you guys think about them? I'm sold on KC. I think they're a solid team. I've been, I think at the beginning of the season. But what do you guys think about them?
I was, like I said, last year, I had them winning the division. So, they have the talent. But this, to me, I think is their biggest game, I think, of the season on this Sunday night. We'll just see what, it's going, the defense is going to see this Peyton Manning. The thing is, see how the offense is going to respond. If it's going, of course, Peyton Manning is going to do what he's going to do. How are they going to respond? Are they going to be able to be in the shootout? So that's going to be a question, what the offense is going to do in this game. If they do something in this game, win or lose, the offense delivers something, then, hey, maybe KC might be the team I think that might could go to the championship.
Text.
I like KC's defense. They're not impregnable. They can be beaten for big plays. You can get them 30 and 40 yards down the field. I think they're limited. It's another case, just like the Bengals and kind of like Carolina. We have the roster. I mean, it's... Now, where's the quarterback? I don't think Alex Smith is a bad quarterback, but, they're limited offensively. And while Dwayne Bowe has lost a step, Dwayne Bowe's not as bad as what he's been putting out. His QB can't get him to rock. I mean, I've never seen so many 3-yard outs. you know, you want to make this a way of life. 3-yard outs, 3-yard checkdowns. I mean, this is not how Andy Reid wants to run his offense.
But they've been winning, Jack.
Yeah, well, you know what? Winning can. Well, I tell you what, man. Sometimes winning is the worst thing, man, because it provides you a false sense of security.
False confidence. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Alex Smith just limits them. It just puts a cap on their production. It puts a cap on Kansas City's production.
This is pretty much crunch time. You know, half the season is over, so now all that stuff that happened in the beginning, now you're starting to see it's time to play. Either you're going to go to the playoffs or you're going to be home in January.
Okay. Carvell?
I mean, I'm with Tex. You know, when you need Alex Smith, before the season's over, when you need him, just like you didn't get him when the Giants beat him in the playoffs in San Francisco, that's what's going to happen in Kansas City.
Okay, even all other than
and you need him.
Okay,
you need him this Sunday night. You need him this Sunday night because I tell you what Denver's game plan is right now. Stack the box. You're not going to beat us with Jamal Charles.
Okay. Okay.
That's what they
want to
do.
Well, I will be watching. I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I gotta see them put it on the field. I gotta see what they're gonna do. Like I said, KC's defense ain't no joke. Houston, Tan Holly, you know, Derrick Johnson, they boys is playing, man. They're hitting, you know, Eric Berry, you know, you know, it's gonna be a good game. James, you still on with us? What do you think about KC?
All right, I'm seeing this looking like Kansas City is looking like, you know, the Baltimore team that won the first Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer on offense. They didn't really need, you know, that many playmakers across the roster for the offense, but they had a stingy, real stingy defense that, you know, wouldn't let anybody score. So it's not like, you know, Alex Smith has to, you know, be Superman or whatever it is. I mean, Trent Dilfer wasn't a Superman, and he was able to win a Super Bowl. And, hey, once you do that, you're greater than Jim Kelly. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really, you know, putting too much stock on, you know, Alex Smith, you know, really making that many big plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He really doesn't have to do that. If the coach, Andy Reid, knows how to coach the team, get the defense ready for their opponent, then they should be straight. And with that, I'm saying that Kansas City is a different team than Carolina. And I think it was one other team that somebody mentioned, but particularly Carolina is in that Alex Smith doesn't have to do as much as Cam Newton does in order for their team to, you know, win or to be successful. Alex Smith has, I say, a better roster on offense than Cam Newton has in Carolina.
Only thing I agree with you on, James, that Kansas City, that, you know, Alex Smith does have a better roster on offense than Cam. But this Sunday, my friend, Alex Smith has to be, like Tex said, and I agree with him, he has to be on Alex Smith, man. It's going to be a scoring. You're going against Peyton Manning, who I still think is the best quarterback in the NFL. You got to be able to score points. And Kansas City defense is good, but they're not the 2000 Ravens defense. Nowhere close.
Right.
I wouldn't even compare them to the 2000 Ravens defense.
Yeah, but at the same token, I don't think the Denver defense is all that stingy either.
Yeah, they definitely lost that from last year. Hey, before we start wrapping up the show, I want to put in one more team and get you guys' thoughts on them. The New York Jets, I want to add them in here, just because their defensive line has just been so dominant this year. Sheldon Richardson, he was my pick for Rookie of the Year, and he's balling out. I'll be Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he's balling out. Mohammed Wilkinson, all these cats are balling out, and they have the greatest nickname I've ever heard for a defensive line, and the Sons of Anarchy. That is awesome. What do you guys think about the New York Jets?
Well, the Jets, looking at their division, you know, the Patriots pretty much, I think, of course, I think is going to win a division. I mean, the Jets, they right in there. I mean, I thought they might be one of the worst in the division. I mean, second worst in the division behind Buffalo. I mean, in front of Buffalo. But, I mean, they surprised me in a way, you know, how they've been playing. And, you know, of course, Miami's play, they went down. So, I think the Jets are a team that could be definitely a wild card in the AFC.
Okay, Paul, go.
And please don't give me this D. Milliner stuff here, okay? We can
look at this.
I'm gonna let that slide.
They spent one draft pick on Richardson. Just think if they might have spent that other draft pick on like a wide receiver or something. I mean, it could have been spent so many other places besides D. Milliner. I mean, Mark. I mean, seriously, dude. Well, you got to admit, Pavel. Come on, dude.
And he's not looking good. I will give you that.
He's not looking good.
I was wrong.
I mean,
for so far, I was wrong.
Dude. Like I said, it's ugh.
He's shown flashes that he can do stuff, though. He's shown flashes, but overall,
he's shown flashes that he can keep the bench warm and stop the team from being good.
But yeah, Mo Claiborne. All y'all say the same stuff about Mo Claiborne. But anyway, that's another conversation.
The Claiborne might be having a down year, but he's showing he can play good. So.
Yeah, he said he was better, and Tech said he was better than Peterson one time, but that's another conversation.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said people thought he was better than Peterson. You didn't say that, Tech. Yes, you did. I don't remember that. It's on tape.
I don't remember that.
I do. It's on tape.
Whatever. Peterson, one of the best cornerback prospects I've ever seen.
Claiborne's better than Peterson.
I ain't never felt like that about Mo Claiborne, man.
Whatever.
Nah,
all right, whatever.
Nah.
All right,
Tex, what do you think about the Jets, man?
Oh, me? Yeah. I think Rex Ryan does more with less than anybody else in the league. You know, I told y'all at the beginning of the year, man, watch out for them Jets, man. They're going to try to tough themselves to about 9 or 10 wins, man. That's just how they do it, man. They try to tough it out like that. Now, you know, this is extremely hard to do this with Geno Smith playing like he is. But, you know, Geno got some bad games underneath his belt. He has some good games. So it's going to be up and down. But like I said, you know, nobody does more with less than Rex Ryan. And the Jets' D-line is awesome. Sheldon Richardson balling. Grading out is
Mohamed Wilkerson. I mean, them boys are cold, man.
Yeah, and their body types are ridiculous too.
Yeah,
especially Wilkerson, man.
All those dudes are throwback looking dudes. The big 300-pound line. You know, I mean, those are big men. On that defensive line.
Long gorilla arms, man. Like
yep.
silverback
who can
arms.
Pass
you know
rush.
What I'm saying?
Who can pass rush, too.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the major thing. They can all pass rush, and they're good against the run. You're not going to do them like you might do against a guy like, Jared Allen, who might not be the best against the run or whatever like that. These guys, you know, you got to come up with a different game plan against these guys.
And they stay on the field.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, James, what do you think about the Jets?
I think what we had was, you know, them being a dark horse pick to, you know, get one of those wild card spots with the opposite team being, you know, either Denver or Kansas City. Like y'all said, I mean, the defense has been, you know, balling out of control, especially the front line. And you know, the offense has been, you know, improving a little bit by bit, you know, as the games go by with, Smith there and, you know, with their running game. So as long as, you know, Ryan doesn't, you know, mess things up here near the end of the season, I think they can get that second wild card spot.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see, too, next season, like I said, because they're going to be able, you know, if they get a decent draft pick, possibly trade Sanchez and get another draft pick, and they're going to get, you know, see if they can
maybe get Geno Smith some weapons, because the wide receivers they have are boo-boo, even though Smith hasn't, you know, he's been kind of pig-pone, but you got to get him better weapons than that.
But
so
Mike,
it's going to be interesting to see.
Mike,
they can get Marquise Lee.
But Mike, they're going to have a hard time with Sanchez, knowing that everybody knows they're probably going to part ways with him. They might as well, they're probably going to have to release him. I don't think anybody's going to trade for him.
I mean, like I said, possibly. I mean, you can.
Yeah, bring him
to
Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, like I was just about to say Tampa. You're gonna get a team that's gonna want dude. You know, like I say, you're gonna get a team that's gonna want dude. It's gonna be a situation similar to the Alex Smith situation in San Francisco. Everybody was saying, you know, okay, we're not gonna be able to trade out, and then you know they were able to trade him for somebody. And you know, Sanchez, you know, has a skill wise, talented Smith right now. So you know, you're gonna get somebody that's gonna want to trade for him. Like I said, I just think that it's gonna be interesting to to see how they continue building that team. I wasn't really big on Geno Smith, but I hope he can continue his growth. I mean, you know, I hope this interception turnover thing is just, you know, some rookie business and combined with these horrible wide receivers that they have. But like I said, that team they got potential now, which is more than they had in a while. So it's gonna be interesting. One other thing I want to throw about out there before we wrap up is, I don't know if you guys heard about this, Trent Richardson has a sex tape being shopped around.
Yeah, I heard about that story yesterday.
Apparently with two or three girls in it. I don't know, and it just kind of bothers me, you know, just because, I don't know. It just bothers me. It's like, dude, just play football, and I don't know. I thought that, I don't know if it was him that I was reading it, that already has kids, you know, already by a couple of chicks. I figured it was. Just play football. Why are you letting anybody tape you? I don't know. I mean, you know, what do you think about that, Clausel? This is your boy, your Alabama running back, and now you got a sex tape coming out. What's the deal?
Yeah, it's just sad, man. I mean, it's no excuse, and, you know. You know, man, it's just he's just doing stupid stuff, man. I mean, ain't nothing I can explain, you know?
He
may get released because of that.
I was just about to say, he's already not lighting up in Indianapolis as it is. I hope this isn't the kind of thing that's going to end this dude's career or hamper it, you know? I mean,
I'm going to bring in Watley here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm bringing Wiley.
Hey.
Wiley, what you got?
Yeah, the trapped in the closet stuff, I don't know. I don't know about that. But, you know, Richardson, he might be realizing that his two legs ain't his best quality, I guess. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe somebody told him his third leg was better.
I mean, does anybody know the details? I mean, did he make the tape? Did the girls make it?
I just heard something about it. They were saying about
know.
It in the tape. That's all they were saying yesterday.
I want to talk about
the two games y'all just talked about. First of all, the Jets, and then y'all were talking about Kansas City. First and foremost,
yeah.
I want to say to all of y'all are hopeless romantics. The reason why I'm calling y'all hopeless romantics is because Kansas City is not going to win their division, and the Jets ain't got a chance. So all it is, well, they might and they could and they do this, that, the other. Kansas City has had a cupcake first half of the season. I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but they will not go undefeated. I will bet my paycheck on that. And secondly,
I mean,
nobody said
they was going to go undefeated the whole year. That's insane.
Right, right. but they don't have what it takes. They have a great defense, yes, but they will get in the playoffs, and they will go up against a Denver. They will go up against a New England, and that offense on the other side will be more than that defense on their side, and they will lose. And the Jets, just stop talking about the Jets. They ain't got a chance. They ain't even got a chance.
Have you watched any of the Jets games?
Yes, I've watched the Jets games. They don't have a chance. Do you forget what division the Jets are in? The Jets are in New England's division. They will not catch them. They're what, two games behind them right now, and they're only going to get further behind them. They're not going to catch New England, which means they're not going to win their division, and their record is not going to be good enough to get one of their wild card spots. They will not be in the playoffs this year.
As of right now, they're the second wild card team right now. So you think that Tennessee or Cleveland is going to end up with a better record than the Jets?
I think Pittsburgh or Cincinnati is going to end up with a better record than the Jets, and Pittsburgh or Cincinnati is going to win the AFC North, and the other team is
going to have a better
record than the Jets because they both already have beaten the Jets.
Did you just say Pittsburgh?
I just said Pittsburgh. You
the
heard
three
me.
And six
Pittsburgh will win their division.
This is insanity.
Oh, here
Pittsburgh
we go.
Will win the AFC North.
Hey, the North has been shaky, Mike. I mean, look at Cincinnati. I mean,
Mike, please don't feed into that, Mike. Please don't feed into that.
I get what you're saying,
the AFC North is kind of shaky right now, Mike.
We don't need to put it on paper. We got it on paper.
And Cincinnati is going to get that wild card. I just told you.
Oh, my goodness.
Cincinnati going to get that wild card over the Jets because they already beat the Jets.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay, was that it, Tony?
That's it.
All right.
Mark my words. I got it on
Cincinnati
tape.
Cincinnati has suspect playing quarterback right now, and I think he really is regressing. He really is regressing right now.
Yeah.
Okay,
I agree. Big Red is tripping, but at the same time,
I think the Cincinnati Bengals are better than the New York Jets.
Pittsburgh has suspect play at every position right now. That's why they're 3-6, but okay.
Okay, but the thing is, if they win their conference, they will win the conference. They're only one game back in their division. I mean, not
no,
conference,
not. They're,
division.
They're 2.5 games.
It's all about the division. It's all
they're
about the division.
Right
they
now.
Will win their division. They will win their division.
Okay.
They're 1-1 in their division, and Cleveland is 2-1 in the division, and Cincinnati is 2 in the division, and Baltimore is 2-2 in the division. So they're one game out in their division. One game.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll agree to disagree with you on that.
You guys are stacked guys. Go to ESPN and look at it.
Okay. I'll check it out. Let's go ahead and wrap things up though. Is there any final tidbits anybody wants to get in before we wrap things up?
I do.
Winston sucks.
Go ahead.
Yo. The NFC playoff picture is going to be interesting, especially with the Carolina Panthers, who still have to play New Orleans twice, New England, and should be one other team, Seattle. That's right, Seattle.
Okay, okay.
I can say I was really shocked at what happened in Indy this week. That was flabbergasting, and I cannot believe Indy led a team like the Rams come in there in their stadium and beat them down by 30. That was crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the Rams defense is good though. We talk about defense. That defense right there, I mean, they're gonna be a defense, man.
Tony, you were the only one who was saying the Rams were sorry last week, but anyway.
Right.
We talk about playoffs. The Rams, the Rams still got a chance to get in too. They were just talking about them. I mean, they're good.
Not last week. According to Tony Wadley, according to him, they stink. So, but
I still agree. I still think they stink.
Okay.
That didn't change.
All they need is get like a quarterback and get a little bit of something on the offense and shit. Watch out for them Rams, man. They got it.
The sun shines on the dog's ass once in a while. you know, okay, they got a win.
Yeah. Okay, all right, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Next week, we didn't get to do it this week. Next week, we're going to have our CMT Firestorm official top 10 teams. So, guys, get prepared for that for next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for calling in, all the callers. We had a really good show this week. Peace. You guys have a good one.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Peace out, folks.